I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Podditors. I had a little break last week, but we're back now for the last episode of this season. Woo! It has been a long one. We've gone straight through, all the way through lockdown, and I'm so pleased to have had this and that you guys have all been listening along. I appreciate it loads, but I think it is a bit of time for a little bit of a break. But before we go, I speak to the wonderful Natalie Lee, or Style Me Sunday on Instagram, about self-care and what that looks like for her. I hope you enjoy, and I will see you in a few weeks or so. As always, please do rate, review, and subscribe. Bye!
Hello, and welcome to Adulting. This episode is brought to you in collaboration with MAC Cosmetics and their iconic Fix Plus setting spray, the holy grail of hydrating mists. Simply spritz to hydrate, refresh, and set makeup. So my guest today, Natalie, you are all about self-care and fashion and makeup. But for people who don't know who you are, could you give us an introduction to you and Style Me Sunday and everything that you do?
Hello, and thank you so much for having me. I'm like really excited to be here and to talk to you. It's it's amazing. So I'm Natalie and I run a blog called Style Me Sunday. I've been doing it for about 8 years, and I started when I was pregnant with my second daughter. Started out as fashion, and now it is, well, everything really. Fashion, beauty, there's just so many things. I talk about whatever is in my head, like diversity issues, sexism, you know, just everything. And I also do a podcast. I also do events. I also do speaking, things now. And yeah, I'm just very pleased to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on. I love your work. I love everything you stand for. I think what it is, it's like modern holistic wellness. I think years ago we used to look at wellness as being like a green smoothie and going for a run. And now actually when you really take charge and like take power of your life, you realize that it's in so many other spaces than just those kind of like really traditional ideas. How has your lockdown been? How are you getting on in this weird old time?
My lockdown has been, very much like everyone else's that I'm hearing, very up and down. I will have moments of like despair and being like, oh my God, I just need to get out of this house and see people other than my family. And then, you know, some real beautiful moments have come out of this. I have reconnected with those close to me. I have, you know, maybe had time now to deal with things that I needed to deal with. And I wasn't necessarily, you know, in the room before because I was everywhere, you know, running around like a headless chicken, going to appointments and events and doing the blog. And yeah, you know, it's just been, actually it's been really nice to take a little step back and refocus my brain on the things that really needed my attention and the places I wanted to give my attention.
It's so true. When you suddenly have that space for thinking, I've had the same as you, where you have suddenly overwhelming moments of introspection where kind of stuff comes up that you really haven't dealt with. Mm. And then also you've got the space to deal with it, which is amazing. Because as you say, normally life is just so full and busy that you kind of have 5 minutes to cram into the end of the day where you might do a bit of skincare or whatever. And that's the only space that you have. So what has your kind of self-care looked like in lockdown now? What things have you really been making time for that you, I guess you maybe didn't have before?
Well, I've had quite a few daytime baths. I love a bath, first of all. Like, water is my thing. I'm a water baby. And a daytime bath just feels so bloody decadent and indulging. I just love it. I have really been taking care of my skin. I have been taking the time to, like, you know, apply serums and oils and face masks and eye gels. It just feels really like smooth and cared for and hydrated, really hydrated, which is great. Actually, I've had a bit more time to experiment with makeup and do like some different looks, which has been really nice, because normally when I put my makeup on, I'm doing it in quite a rushed state. So recently I've just been, you know, experimenting a bit more, which is really nice.
When you spoke about how your skin is really hydrated and supple, that is exactly why I've been loving the limited edition MAC Fix Plus Vibe Setting Spray, because you can just spritz on for that feel-good factor and hydrate and refresh your skin in one go, as well as it setting your makeup, which is just perfect. There are 7 different Fix Plus Vibe scents inspired by colours, moods and energies designed to give us good vibes. There's passion, vitality, play, balance, calm, awaken and compassion. I personally have been loving passion, which is all about seizing the day with the power of strawberry and peach aromas to make us feel enamored and electric, which right now is exactly the vibe I'm lacking. I don't know about you. I know that a thread of your content is talking about, or I think maybe this is what you started your blog, was to talk about how like fashion actually is such a big representation of how we feel and how we express ourselves. And funnily enough, sometimes in lockdown, when I've been feeling a bit like sluggish and can't be arsed, in the middle of the day, I'll just go and do my makeup and put a nice outfit on just so I feel like I've got a bit of purpose. And did you feel that there was a moment of reclaiming when you started your blog and you spoke about fashion this way? Because we know that when it comes to things pertaining to femininity, often they're looked down on, when actually I think there's so much power in them.
That, yeah, you're completely right. I think what's lovely about like doing your makeup or wearing clothes that you choose to wear is like doing it for yourself and not doing it for the gaze of men or to appear attractive to whoever you're attracted to. And it's about reclaiming that power and the, you know, that sort of quiet knowing that you're doing this for you. And I think lockdown has just reinforced that for me. You know, I like doing my makeup. And it doesn't matter who sees it. I'm doing it because I enjoy it. And I like, you know, experimenting and the how it looks at the end. I'm not doing it for anyone else. And that's been really lovely. And it's the same with clothes. You know, sometimes, obviously, I have, like a lot of people, been in joggers and slippers for a lot of my lockdown. But also, like the other day, I put on this neon pink, beautiful dress and just wafted around the house in it. And it felt bloody excellent. And it really like helped to lift my mood. And I've always done that with fashion, as you say. Like, it's for me, fashion is all about the feeling and not about how you look to other people.
I think lockdown's definitely provided that space where you can tell, like, am I doing it for me or am I doing it for my conditioning? Loads of my friends have been talking about this when it comes to shaving or like removing body hair, because some of us are still doing it and we're like, oh my god, maybe it is just because no one's gonna know. And then some of my other friends have been like, actually being in lockdown's made me realize that I don't really want to remove my body hair. And it's given us a really nice space away from normal society, in a funny way, if you had to find like a silver lining, to really recognize what things am I doing for me and what am I doing for my conditioning. And I think your platform provides really amazing content on this front, because you really do work, especially with women, to help them engage with, you know, why am I feeling this way, whether it's about my body or my sexuality. When did you start talking about that? And was it always something you felt comfortable speaking about, or was that something that you had to unlearn and kind of dive into?
Yeah, I think you're right. I've definitely started talking about it more, definitely in the last couple of years, I would say. It hasn't been easy to do. I have definitely felt that, like, because I, on my feed, I pose, like, you know, semi-naked quite a lot of the time, as you'll know. And that hasn't always been easy to do. That's, I had to really push myself to step outside my comfort zone. I remember the first time I ever posted a semi nude picture on Instagram, I felt physically sick because I was so scared about the reaction that I would get. But I knew that it was something that was really fundamental to my growth in order, you know, that's the reason why I was posting it. And since then, it has really evolved, and I can do it now much more freely. I don't feel sick when I post it, or even talk about things that are not necessarily, you know, talked about often, like female masturbation and things like that. You know, I've really had to push past my feelings, you know, the conditioning and the sense of shame that I've grown up with. It's really, really been a massive, massive learning curve for me, but very important, because I didn't want my children to be brought up the way I was, feeling ashamed of their body, hating their body. Because, you know, especially for females, as soon as we start breathing, you know, everything tells us to hate our bodies, to hate ourselves, and to look for external validation. And that's something that I'm so passionate about changing. And my feed has really given me the power and some real, I don't know, just enabled me to really, like, stretch that muscle and push past it.
So would you say, like, that first image that you posted yourself was kind of you relinquishing yourself and feeling like you had to pretend your body was something else? It was just you going, like, this is me, and I accept it, like moving towards that body acceptance. Was that kind of the thing that you were trying to achieve? Because I know that I used to post bodies, pictures myself, and I would stare at them for hours if there was like a tiny bit of back fat sticking out the back of my sports bra, like the most ridiculous things. And I completely agree that there's a certain level of liberation when you just go, actually, this is it. This is just what I look like.
Yeah.
Was that the result for you?
Yeah, I think my main thing was worrying about what other people thought of me. I was really, you know, that I've just been conditioned. We've all been conditioned to think about what other people think. And I think for me, the more I've posted and the more comfortable I've got in my own skin, the less I'm worried now about what other people think of me. And that is so liberating. It's unbelievable. You know, it's just really lovely to have that sense of peace within yourself and knowing that you don't need anyone else's permission slip to do something. You're in charge of your own body and what you and your own actions and how you talk, and that is so freeing and so wonderful. And that's really developed
when it comes to like your mental well-being. This was something I think I had a similar recognition where I realized that actually one of the best things you can do to feel good was just to allow yourself to be in all of your facets. And I've always been told I'm loud or I'm too much and all of those things. Is that something that you used to get and then you try and hide it? Because I feel like you're such a vibrant person. I love following and you've got so much energy. But as women, we're often told that that's like the worst thing and that we must quieten ourselves down and shrink ourselves for other people.
Absolutely. And I think that has, you know, from very early on, females are definitely taught to be a good girl. They're taught how they should act and what they should say and not say it too loudly and what they should wear. You know, there's so many messages that we're getting constantly that tells us to shrink ourselves, to not be ourselves, to try and fit into this image of what a female should be and should and how they should act and behave. It's really difficult to break past that and understand that, you know what, it's okay being me. I don't have to act how you want me to act. That's, you know, you can take that shit and you can run with that, but I'm not going to take that on because I need to fulfill me.
When you're raising your daughters now, it's really hard to think about being a mum and not instilling these same lessons. Because I know that my mum definitely said or did things that would have encouraged some of the behaviours that you're talking about, not meaning to, that was just society, as you say, we've all been conditioned the same. What kind of things do you try to do to try and get out of that minefield of having children that are going to feel all this sense of like you have to fit into this mold? How do you get them to break free before they've even kind of got into it, if that makes sense?
It's a really good question and it's really difficult. I'm not going to lie. I feel like I'm fighting fires every single day. And, you know, a lot of it is just down to role modeling. I want to role model that they can be whoever and whatever they want to be. A lot of it is down to language. You know, we assume things as parents often and onto our children, and we have certain expectations that we don't even realize we're doing it. And I am really, you know, I'm really trying to check myself and not assume that my children are going to be a certain way. Let's talk about sexuality, for example. One of the things that is a bit of a pet hate with me is that everyone assumes that when they have a child, it's going to be heterosexual. And it's just a basic assumption that we tend to think is the, you know, the norm. So that's one of the things that I'm very careful not to assume with my children. And we talk very openly about, you know, being able to love whoever you want to love. And I would never assume that they, for example, fancy boys at school. That's just being careful of the language you use around your children is really important. But also things like role modeling. So, you know, I had a mother who was obsessed with the scales and with diets, and we had every single kind of diet food in our fridge, and she weighed herself every day and was obsessed with putting on weight. And that's one of the things I have battled very, very strongly to not role model to my children. There's no scales in my house. I'm incredibly passionate about people using anti-diet culture language and being fattest and, you know, just being careful about how we talk in front of our children, because they're soaking everything in all the time. We don't. Even, you know, there's even times when I think they're not listening and I'll just test it out, you know, and say something controversial. And then instantly their ears prick up and they're like, "Mum, what did you say?" You know, so, they're soaking everything in, and we have to be so careful and mindful about what we're showing and role modelling.
And my mum was exactly the same when it comes to the scales. And I wonder if it's like a generational thing, but it was like slim fast and diet culture was so normalised for them that they didn't, I don't think she wouldn't have even known. And even now it's still a bit like those ideas are so ingrained in her. And we are all taught to be fat phobic from such a young age. And I think it is so incredible to try and strip yourself away from that. And the same as you, I went through years of really bad patches with disordered eating and trying to constantly lose weight. And in fact, I always thought, but like I said at the beginning, I always thought self-care would be if I was like the leanest I could ever be, never went out, didn't drink. And actually it's turned out that self-care has been going out, enjoying my time with my friends. That can be such a big, huge mindset shift for me. When you went through those periods, did you have a similar kind of journey to getting where you were today?
Yeah, I think for me, the like lightning bolt came after I had my second daughter, and I was looking in the mirror at my body, because your body changes after you have children, and it's not really something that is, well, for me, well, I mean, my eldest daughter is now turning 12 tomorrow. She, you know, when I was pregnant, you didn't really see postnatal bodies, postpartum bodies in the media or social media. It was still very quite stylized then and very idealistic. So I really struggled with my postpartum body and the stretch marks, the extra weight, the flabby skin and, you know, areas that just looked completely different from before children. But you know what, I remember breaking down. I mean, I broke down quite a lot about my body. I used to cry a lot about it. I was very, very down. I used to think that I could never, ever wear a bikini ever again in my life, because no one should be inflicted with the sight of my body. And now I feel really sad about that woman who thought like that. But yeah, I remember there was one moment when I was in floods of tears in the mirror, naked, looking at my body. And then I remember just looking at my daughter who was sitting on the bed. And I just thought, you know what? This is absolutely ridiculous. I don't want her to grow up and feel like I feel. What would I say to her if she was me and she was looking in the mirror at her beautiful, magnificent body that had borne two children? And, you know, what advice would I give to her? I have to really dig deep right now, and I've got to change that narrative, because if my daughter felt like that, I would be devastated. So it was on me to change that. And I just went on a very, very long journey of trying to unlearn the shit that I had been taught my whole life. And yeah, thankfully it's good. It's getting better. I think that it's, you know, you're never going to be 100% confident all the time. It's very up and down. But oh God, when I think back to those days of how much I hated myself and my body, I'm in a completely different place right now.
That's so beautiful to hear that. And I love that that was like, it was your daughter that made you have that realization. And I agree about what you were saying earlier about the messages that we absorb, because even I remember when I started following you, your photos are so beautiful. Like all that your nudes that you do, it was really artistic. And the way that you speak about yourself is generally so kind. And I've realized that if you speak about yourself kindly and you see other people doing that, then you start to shudder off a bit of that normalized idea of, oh my God, look at this. And oh my God, look at that. Whereas when I follow people that were often doing diets or were like fit, like very, very fitnessy and talking about cutting and shredding, your narrative becomes the same. It's always about what can I lose and what can I take away. Whereas when you start to engage with women and people who speak about themselves in a really kind way, everything seems so much nicer. And one of the best things you can do for self-care is to change that inner voice in your head. But I would say that right at the beginning, it's kind of like faking it. But then you start to believe it. Because I remember I used to try and do that thing where I'd be like, what's it called when you say affirmations? And I'd be like, I am beautiful, I'm great. And you feel like an absolute dick. But then after a while, you're like, actually, I kind of believe it now, you know?
You are completely right. When I made a vow to myself that I would not speak about myself in a self-derogatory way in front of my children ever again. And I wasn't able at that point to change how I was thinking inside, but I could change what I was speaking. And you're completely right about faking it to an extent before you actually make it. And that's exactly what happened. I stopped myself speaking out loud. I didn't stop the thoughts, but the thoughts soon became quieter and quieter and quieter and less and less and less. And what another thing you said was about surrounding yourself with people who speak positively about themselves and how you start to absorb that. You absolutely do. And curating your feed, because we spend so much time on social media these days, is incredibly important. You will absorb so much if you are very mindful about who you're following, what they're saying, what their message is. You will absorb that. And, you know, just be very careful about the influences around you. It's, yeah, you're completely right.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I came along to one of your events that you did with, it's Alana, isn't it? That's Alana, Dance Box. Yeah. Lana, yeah, and you do your feeling myself event, and it was amazing. And I was so nervous. So it's basically like group of women come together, quite a lot of women, and you have a talk, really empowering panel talk, and then you do a dance. And I would say that I'm quite confident, but actually, when it comes to dancing, I am so awkward and so robotic. But being in that room with that energy with all those women, you just absolutely lose. I was almost crying because I think I said to you I'd had like the worst morning that morning. Something had gone on in my private life, and I was really upset. And I was like, I'm going to go to this thing; it'll be fine. And by the end of it, I was absolutely buzzing off the walls because it's just this. I'm smiling when I'm saying this because it's just so joyful to have this celebration of women, everyone from every background, different sizes, different races, like a real group of genuinely diverse women, not like the inverted commas diversity that we see online. And that was so incredible. Is that kind of your, looking forward when you want to be doing with your work, is it that the kind of thing that you want to be creating more of these spaces?
Absolutely. And you're so right. I was smiling just listening to you speaking about it. Like I had the biggest smile on my face. And it's so lovely to hear you say that, because that's exactly what I want to create and how I want to make people feel. You know, I do feel like there is, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but there is a real lack of it being cool to say that you're feeling yourself or that you are beautiful and you are amazing. You know, it's also very un-British, I feel like, and I just want to really inspire people to feel themselves and to celebrate themselves. And that's exactly what those events are doing. We're trying to get people to connect with themselves and their bodies and their souls again. And, you know, the dancing, the affirmations, the talking about releasing the shame and just celebrating everything about you is the vibe that we are trying to promote, and it's wonderful. It's just wonderful to see it in real life happening and to see the change in people when they first come and then to how they leave. It's the most beautiful and fulfilling feeling that I have ever experienced in my life.
Yeah, and it's incredible to actually be in the room and in the space in real life and to lose your inhibitions amongst a group of strangers and just be really sweaty and everyone's really cheering each other on. And I feel like, unfortunately, because of internalized misogyny, as women, we often sometimes don't cheer each other on, and we're not fighting for each other because we're so conditioned to think there's not enough room for all of us. And I think that plays into why we find it so hard to say, oh, I look really nice today, or be like, I love my dress, rather than if someone asks you where it's from, be like, oh my God, it was in the sale. Because we're worried that other people will be like, oh, who does she think she is, you know? But actually that's because we're all kind of mirroring and projecting on each other. And I think that one of the best things you can do for yourself and for self-care is to be like, I'm the only one that can make me feel amazing. And then that translates to other people. But on your online platform, it's not just fun and joy. You also talk about really serious things, and you do your Friday finger. And as you spoke about, you know, postpartum bodies weren't a massive part of the online community. And also, as a mixed race woman, you're a mother that wasn't necessarily platformed, like the mummy blogging, if you want to call it that, industry before was very, very whitewashed. How did that feel coming into that? And do you feel like now that's something that's changing? Obviously, I feel like it is, but I wonder how it feels from you and whether you still feel like you're fighting a bit against this whitewashed media that we all kind of exist in.
I'm nodding vigorously when you're talking, by the way. I feel like... I feel like things are definitely changing. I feel like with Black Lives Matter movement, it has given some platforms that don't necessarily have the spotlight on them, it's really highlighted them, and that's amazing. I feel like the whole mummy blogging arena was very white, and it's brilliant that that's changing. I feel like it's just about really a sense of belonging, and feeling like you belong in a space is really the hardest thing for me, and something that I've had to work really hard on and trying to own that. But yeah, I think it's definitely changing and getting better. We're seeing so much more diversity and inclusion now, which is great. There's still a lot more work to do, but I'm getting so many moments of celebrating the wonderful people around me, people of colour that are really getting to shine right now. And I'm so happy about it, and it's just so beautiful, like seeing my peers, my Black peers, on This Morning and Good Morning, and you know, in huge advertising campaigns. It makes my heart sing. It is just the most wonderful thing to witness. I didn't have that when I was a kid, and I didn't see Black role models and people of colour in magazines. And that really affected my confidence, my sense of belonging, my aspirations. It's incredible now, and I'm so here for it.
No, I completely agree. And I feel like you're a part of that, of giving this vision of like, seeing is believing. It means you can do it. And I'm sure that little girls and boys will look to your account. And that's kind of everything that you are, really, though, the fact that you are championing yourself as this whole woman, like you have everything, and you bring it all to the table. You're not kind of looking to be filled up. You fill yourself up first, kind of thing. And that's, I think, why it's such a joy and a pleasure to follow you. And one of the aspects that I love the most about what you do is that, as I spoke about before, you're not just presenting this effeminate ideal of beauty. You do your Friday finger. It's one of my favorite things. I love it when women swear and when they're rude. I just think it's great. When did the Friday finger start? And what is it for people who don't know?
So every Friday, I stick my middle finger up to whatever is basically pissing me off, or something that I just want to challenge, you know, and have a voice about. I think, you know, as women, we have this kind of, we press this perception onto women that they shouldn't swear, they shouldn't be loud, as we spoke about earlier, and they shouldn't be angry. And that annoys me, because I still do get quite a bit of backlash because I swear on my feed and people think it's not very womanly, and I'm just like, well, you know exactly what my response to that would be. I'd just stick my middle finger up at them. Like, it's okay to be angry, it's okay to be noisy, it's okay to have a voice and express your opinion. You know, who told women that they had to be ladylike, and what is ladylike? You know, it's just such a misogynistic and tool to control us, and that's everything that I'm against. So that's basically what the Friday finger is trying to do.
And I think for our own mental well-being, we have to be able to express ourselves and express how you're feeling, because otherwise it comes up in resentment. And I feel like that the more that you can express and create, the happier you're able to be. Would you say that in terms of looking after your mental health and things like that, how good are you at tapping into those conversations and looking into your inner well-being? Is that something that you're getting better at, or I really want to go to therapy now. I think all my friends are in therapy and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like it sounds incredible. Is that something you do or thought about?
Gosh, yes. That's so funny, because I'm actually having therapy straight after this conversation. And I think it's incredibly important to be able to speak your mind. You know, when you feel like you are handcuffed and not able to have a voice, you know, how mentally challenging, and, you know, it's just, I feel sorry for people that aren't able to speak their mind and be who they want to be. That's not the way I want to live my life. And, you know, there's that whole, I fell down a rabbit hole the other day of the Free Britney movement, and how she's being controlled. Well, she was controlled by her record label and now her father. And, you know, for me, that is like the worst thing in the world, not being able to do or speak how you feel, and having somebody else controlling you is just that. I can't think of anything worse than that. It's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, and I guess I think we also don't recognize sometimes how much of our conditioning means that we are under these invisible strings. I've also read that Britney thing, and it's wild. And I feel like some of my education around feminism and liberation and becoming this woman I want to be was shaking those like shackles of the patriarchy that we live under, that has these invisible rules telling us like who we need to be and who our bodies are for. And again, going back to this idea about freedom of expression through makeup and fashion, there was a point in my life when I was like, oh, I'm not going to wear makeup, because, you know, this whole idea about how like natural women are better, and there's some kind of like hierarchy to it. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that, again, it's just another means of controlling women. And however you want to express yourself, whether that's naked or with makeup or no makeup, mm-hmm. you've got to find what drives you forward. And I think we're getting to the point now where in certain, obviously not all over the world, but like in certain pockets of the internet, I just think, oh my God, women are amazing. It just feels like we're in charge.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the beauty of social media, I think, you know, for all of its faults. Sometimes I will stumble across something or someone and I will just be cheering and celebrating. And I'm like, yes, that is what it's for. You know, these are the people we weren't seeing or hearing from. And how wonderful it is that they've got a platform and they're able to express themselves and we're able to be inspired by them. It's just, yeah, it's wonderful. I love it.
What's your with social media and how you're going with it now, apart from everything that you're doing, what are your other, do you have any big exciting projects that you're working on or anything? It's really hard to think in lockdown. I feel a bit creatively stifled because you're just kind of around the same people the whole time. But do you have any big projects that you're working on at all?
Yeah, so the Feeling Myself events that I do with Alana from Dancebox, we are doing a online version now. We're doing actually it's like a after hour, we're about to do an after hours one, like so that's going to be more about sex, and we're going to talk about solo sex, masturbation, and the shame around sex, and just getting women to feel liberated and open enough to be able to talk about all of those things. Other things that I'm doing is I am, well, hopefully I'm going to be writing a book soon. I am in the process of writing a proposal, and fingers crossed somebody like picks it up and wants to work with me. But yeah.
Congratulations, that's huge. Can you tell us what it's going to be about? Or is that a top secret hush hush?
Well, it's just going to be about my journey, and it's going to be about inspiring other people. I've got a very good story to tell. I've got lots of life lessons to divulge and give to people. So yeah. I can't tell you too much, obviously, but it's going to be really, really good. And I'm hoping it's going to be life-changing for people who read it. So fingers crossed.
Oh, my God. I'm 100% certain that will get picked up and it will be absolutely amazing. I would love to hear if you have any, like, what are your top five self-care tips or things that you could share? I know I just put you on the spot, but if you had to think, like, what are the things that make you feel like, how do you make sure you're giving yourself enough care? Because I know as women, we often are the caregivers and we forget to look after ourselves.
That's a good question. How do we make sure? I think for me, one of the best things I can do for myself is just giving myself some time to pause. I think one thing about lockdown has been doing like a 5 or 10 minutes, I call it meditation, but I don't know if it really is meditation, but it's just about putting my phone down, you know, asking the children not to disturb me, and just having the space to think whatever I want to think without being interrupted every 2 seconds. That's been a lovely time, and it's also been my most creative time. It's beautiful. So I would encourage anyone to, if they can, just take 5 minutes or 10 minutes out of their day to just sit and just pause, literally just pause. Some other self-care tips is doing things for you. I think it's very important to make sure that you are not pouring from an empty cup and making sure you're actually doing things that satisfy, fulfill, and yeah, make you feel good. And for everyone, that's really different. So I don't want to sort of say what that should be, because yeah, it's different for everyone.
I completely agree. Self-care is so different for every single person. And I think that's why it's so important to recognize that that can be big or small. And I really do see makeup as a part of that, which I didn't really used to understand before, the importance of recognizing the power of the day-to-day things rather than necessarily thinking that, you know, it has to be mindfulness. Even though those things are so important, it can sometimes be in those little day-to-day rituals you have, whether that's putting on your makeup or doing your hair or just making yourself feel fabulous. I think that that is always a form of self-care. And sometimes we need to recognize more the power in, you know, those kind of like feminine things that sometimes we feel like aren't as important, but they definitely are. Sometimes I think we just need someone to give us the okay, that it's okay to do something for us. Do you know, you know, like sometimes you feel like you need permission.
Absolutely.
Just to take that break. I think the only other thing that I would say that is you've taught me is I've, especially in lockdown, gone through a really weird period where I used to exercise all the time and I've kind of lost it. And then I remembered coming to your dance session and I was like, oh my God, I'm just going to learn a TikTok dance. And I got so sweaty. And I danced for ages and I was like, oh, I love this. And I found that exercise sometimes can be so draining. And I just suddenly remembered that it doesn't have to be like the classic workouts we see. Like, movement is fun in of itself. And that was something that you and Ilana really kind of taught me in that session. So thank you.
Yeah, you're right, actually. That's a really good point. I love dancing and it's one of those things that you do and you just don't look at the time. You don't look at what you're doing, how long you've got until it's over, which you often do with a lot of exercise. And you're just doing it because you really enjoy it. You know what? I've got one other self-care tip, and we haven't really talked much about it. But solo sex, masturbation is one of my key self-care things that I do just to look after myself. And I have, you know, the more you're able to connect with your body, give yourself pleasure, I find that it's good for mindfulness. It's really good to... for confidence as well. You know, the more orgasms I've been able to give myself, the more my confidence has increased. So I think that's a very good self-care tip. Give yourself more orgasms.
Such a good tip. And I read, was it on your story this morning, you had a DM from a woman who's like, I'm 75, my husband passed away, but I give myself so many orgasms and I feel great, or something like that. Was that today?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was. And she was... And it was just wonderful, you know, to hear that kind of feedback. Yeah, it's great.
Completely. I love that. And yeah, female pleasure is so important because it just does not get enough airtime. And I think even just sometimes hearing someone say those words out loud can be a window to a whole new world for people that have previously felt all that shame around it. But yes, thank you so much for joining me. And I would recommend that everyone come and follow you on Instagram because you do talk about these things a lot more and go into a lot more depth over on Style Me Sunday. What else would you like to point people in the direction of where they can find you?
No, basically my Instagram is my main thing now. You know, I find everything else is too much hard work. So yeah, come and find me over at Instagram and let's have a conversation. I'm very open. I'm very honest. And hopefully you enjoy my content.
Oh, well, amazing. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Natalie. And I hope you all enjoyed listening.
Oh, it's been absolutely wonderful to talk to you, lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. This special episode of Adulting was brought to you in collaboration with MAC Cosmetics. Bye.